This week has been an especially tough and trying week for our church family. The passing of young Andrew has broken every heart and left us still numbed by the event. We prayed for a miracle, that God would restore Andrew completely to Melissa and to us. But we also prayed that God would have His will, His perfect will. God has answered our prayer. His will has been done, and whether we understand it or not, Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." We may not be able to see the good of Andrew's passing now, but we, as the song lyrics proclaim, will understand it better by and by. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the very presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we lean upon the Holy Spirit this morning. We thank You for each one that's come this way, Father. We thank You for our visitors, Father. We ask You to bless as we seek to minister. And Lord, this afternoon as we go for the wake, Lord, we pray for the family as they will be there to receive the encouragement and the prayers of those that come. Lord, we ask Your blessing upon this hour too, Father. We just pray that, again, the Holy Spirit would minister to us and comfort us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a little fella, in the early 50s, my family lived in Baltimore, Maryland. And we lived in a housing project. And every Saturday morning, I would come down, turn on the TV, and wait for the big picture to come on. I don't know if many of you remember the series, The Big Picture. But it was a series produced by the United States Army. And the principle of the program was to show you how little events, little battles during World War II contributed to the greater success of the overall war. And yesterday I was sharing with Melissa. And as I was sharing the scripture that we're going to share this morning, Melissa looked at me and she said, "Preacher Jim, we just don't see the big picture. We prayed for a miracle. God gave us a miracle. Andrew was a miracle. Andrew touched so many lives. So many folks loved him. So many folks appreciated him. And he loved so many other, he loved all of us. He was a miracle. He's with the Lord now. And you know what another miracle is? Is very soon, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be with the Lord Jesus. And we need to rest upon that and know that Andrew's not gone forever. You hear folks often say that we're going to take him to his final resting place, and yet there is no final resting place for any soul. The soul goes on. The body may be laid to rest for a time, for a moment in time, but the soul, one of these days, the spirit, is going to be rejoined. That spirit that belongs to the Lord Jesus be rejoined to that body, and that body will come out of the grave and be a new body in Christ Jesus, flesh and bone, live forever. Those are the promises. That's the promise of the Word of God. And that's what we need to lean upon. This morning I want you to turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, there's one there in the pew. We encourage you to open to the New Testament book of John. We struggle to find rhyme or reason for Andrew's death. We know the Bible tells us that all things happen for good, but we hurt for Melissa and we hurt for ourselves, and we don't understand, because in truth we don't see that big picture. God not only sees the big picture, but He controls every frame, and whether we understand it or not, the final outcome is for good. The final outcome is for good. In John chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him," or unto Jesus, "saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Verse 5 says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Jesus heard the petition of Martha to come, for her brother was sick. God hears every petition, and He answers every petition that we lift up to Him. He may not answer it the way we want Him to answer it. He may not answer it in the time frame that we expect Him to answer it. But God answers every petition. God knows every prayer. God knows what's on your heart right now. And this week we've been praying for a miracle. We've been crying out to God for the life of Andrew and the heartbrokenness of Melissa. Martha and Mary have been doing likewise. They've been doing the same thing for their brother Lazarus. And God heard their prayer. The Bible makes it clear that Lazarus' family was a family Jesus loved dearly, a family that knew Jesus personally. They invited Him into their home and shared their table with Him. Surely He would come quickly and heal their brother. But look what the next verse says. Verse 6, "When He had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Now, isn't that troubling? Doesn't that trouble you a little bit? I read those words and I think to myself, Jesus, the Messiah, the great physician, the one with all the compassion. He hears about someone who loves Him, who's in desperate need of His touch, of his ministering to them, of His healing hand. And yet the Bible says that when He got the message, He stayed in the same place another 2 days. How many other loved ones in the region of Judea were on their sick beds at the very same time? How many other homes were in danger of losing a beloved mother or father or son or daughter or sister or brother? How many homes would cry out to Jesus to come back and deliver their loved one from the shadow of death? Martha and Mary wanted Jesus to come back. They wanted Him to come back. We wanted Jesus to come and touch Andrew, heal his brain, and restore him. To us, this would have been a wonderful opportunity for God to demonstrate His love, to demonstrate His compassion, and to display His almighty power. Wouldn't it have been a perfect opportunity? I mean, all the people that were gathered at the hospital, I mean, I had opportunity to pray with firefighters on the first floor and family members on the first floor of Wake Medical, and on the second floor and on the third floor as well. There were so many people. What a wonderful opportunity for God to demonstrate this marvelous power of His and work a miracle. How many lives that would have touched. To us, such a miracle would have been a wonderful opportunity for God to demonstrate His love, His compassion, and His almighty power. But we need only to look to the cross to see God's love. We need only look to the cross to see His compassion, and to the cross to see His almighty power. For without the cross, Andrew's death would be permanent. We wanted God to do a miracle. Martha and Mary wanted God to hurry back and perform a miracle. And the question is this morning, hurry back from where? Hurry back from where? Where was Jesus on His way to? Anybody know? Anybody have an answer for that? Where was He on His way to? The cross. The cross. Within the week, Jesus would announce on Calvary's cross, "It is finished. It is finished." Without God's work on the cross, death would always be calling Him back. Jesus didn't come into this world to serve death, but to gain victory over it. Andrew is not dead as we might suppose, but is more alive this morning than he has ever been before in his young life, in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the arms of Margaret and Marvin, all because Christ demonstrated His love and His compassion and His almighty power on Calvary's cross and on that Easter morning when He rose from the dead. Do you believe that? Verse 7 says, "Then after that saith He to His disciples, let us go into Judea." And I want you to, if you've got a little pencil and you're taking little notes, you ought to circle that word again. Again. "Then after that saith He to His disciples, let us go into Judea again." Jesus will now turn around and He'll go back into Judea again. How many times has Christ had to come back again by way of the Holy Ghost to reassure our heart of His promises, the hope of our eternal salvation, the hope of a one day home in glory, and the hope of a gathering together again with all of our loved ones at His table of goodness someday, by and by? How many times does God have to come back and encourage us and strengthen us? How many times do we find ourselves doubting God's word, being moved by the whisper of the devil to question God's promises, to doubt His love, and to question His way? I rejoice this morning that Andrew is present with the Lord. I would have rejoiced that Andrew be sitting here in this pew this morning. But I'm thankful that God has him. And we'll see him again. And why in the world, as we see the direction that this world's going in, why would we want so much more of this life? When God is ready for us to come home, we need to be ready to go home. When the Bible says that there is an appointed time of death, the Bible says each and every one of us has an appointment with the death angel. Unless, of course, the rapture of the church take place. And when God's ready for us to leave this world, we ought to be ready to go. But we ought to be perfectly ready to go by having our hearts and our lives in the safe hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where Andrew's was. Melissa is comforted. Bless her heart. We thought for sure that she was going to need some kind of medical attention, some kind of counseling, and certainly the first day and a half, or the first 2 days, she was completely give out, tears flowing. She slept with Andrew in the ICU, in his bed all night with him. And talked to him, and she said how reassuring him that she was going to take care of him, and that she just wanted him to be safe. And we really were praying so for a miracle for Andrew, but we were also praying that Melissa, that God undergird her and strengthen her for this time, because the doctors kept saying, you know, we're doing all we can do. But it just seems to be no, it seems that these injuries are fatal. And she prayed and she reached out to me a number of times and said, preacher, come and pray with me, pray with me, pray with me. And we always prayed. We prayed the same thing. Lord, we need you. Lord, we want you to intervene. Lord, we want you to bless. We want you to restore. But then we were sitting out in the waiting room. Melissa had been with Andrew for about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, completely alone with him. And she came out after that time. She came out into to the waiting room. And you could just tell that God had strengthened her. Because when she came out into that waiting room, she waited for all of those folks that were there. Firefighters from all over the place, from all over I don't know. I would say the county, but that's limiting. I mean, firefighters came from all over the place. And she waited for all of them to gather around, and then she began to share with them what the situation was with Andrew, that she had accepted the fact that these injuries are fatal, that Andrew is unless God intervenes, is not going to make it. But she said, a wonderful thing is that Andrew's organs may be able to be given to Aubrey Bunn. So that, and for those of you who may not know Brother Aubrey, he's one of the deacons of our church. He's been in a wheelchair. He was in an accident many years ago. But Aubrey's kidneys are gone. He has to go to dialysis every other day. And he's Andrew's uncle. And she talked about what a wonderful thing it was for those organs to be able, and what a blessing it would be if those organs could go to Aubrey, that he wouldn't have to face dialysis anymore. Then she thanked everybody for their support and their prayers. She said, I couldn't have done this without, couldn't go through this without you. And by the way, she's not going to be able to continue on either without our support, without our prayers, without our encouragement. But she finished sharing that. She thanked the folks, and she went back to be with Andrew. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We were praying for a miracle that Andrew would recover. But we were also praying for a miracle that Melissa would be undergirded with the power of the Holy Spirit to be lifted up, to be encouraged. And your encouragement and all of those that were there, their encouragement, God responded and God lifted her up. And God put her on slightly higher ground, if you will. And she came out and she shared that. And then when it was confirmed that Andrew had gone on, she came back out and she shared that with the family first. And then she came into the lobby and shared that with all of the others. Last night as I was talking with Melissa and we were sharing about the funeral, she said this as I was reading these scriptures. She said this. She said, you know, she says, we just don't see the big picture. We just don't see the big picture. But she knows that she's going to see Andrew again. And she's blessed. How about you this morning? How about you this morning? If God called you out of this world, would you be ready to go? Would you be ready to go? In verse 20 of chapter 11, Jesus had finally came back and he said, the scripture says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Might I add, Andrew will rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he asked the question, Martha, believest thou this? And you know, when tragic things happen, it's wonderful to know that we have something that Martha and Mary didn't have at the time. They wanted Jesus to come back. They needed Jesus. They needed the encouragement and the support of Jesus. But do you know what we have today that Mary and Martha didn't have? Somebody tell me. The Holy Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus is never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's always present with us. And so we can be comforted. I believe Melissa was undergirded by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe he just lifted her up and just cuddled her in his arms. And he's carried her through. And you and I, he does the same thing for you and I. We have that wonderful blessing. Today we have something available to us that Martha and Mary didn't have, the very presence of the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter, he's our counselor, and he's our teacher. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 16, 7, Jesus says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Come, Jesus, come back. No. I'm so thankful that Jesus went on to Calvary, died there, rose again on Easter Sunday morning, that every one of us who know Christ as our Lord and Savior will one day, whether we leave this world by the corridor of death or by the rapture of the church, we have a home in glory. Jesus said, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Can we imagine facing the death of our loved ones without the presence of the Holy Ghost? Without being wonderfully reminded of a home in heaven where all of our loved ones that sleep in Christ will be present to welcome us home as we will someday go home to be with them. Where death has no power and joy is everlasting. We don't know why Andrew has been taken so soon. We can't see the big picture, but we know that he's with God and we know that we will see him again. Our prayer this morning is that the Lord continue to bless and comfort Melissa. Our prayer this morning is that each and every one of us are comforted in knowing that we too will see Andrew again. Andrew grew up. We watched him. We watched him grow up here at Powhatan. When he was with his grandmother had him here at church, didn't she? And when his grandmother passed away, he and Melissa made it a point that that Powhatan Church was going to be their home. And we're thankful for that. And the Lord's given them to us for a while. And we're going to miss him for a while. But by and by, we're going to see Andrew again. We're going to see that wonderful smile of Margaret Johnson and that comical attitude of Marvin. I'm thankful that the Lord didn't stay here. I'm thankful that he went on to Calvary and he died there. And you know, this is Christmas, and we're going to celebrate Christmas, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful the Lord sent him, the Father saw fit to send his Son into this world to go to Calvary one day to die for us? The Bible says that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That means we'll have a home. Our name will be moved from the books to the book of life. The scripture says that by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. We're not saved because we come to church. We're not saved because we tithe. We're not saved because we do good deeds. We're saved because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have received the gift of eternal life. My prayer too is that above all things, that Andrew's life will touch somebody even more so than has already been touched with a renewing, with a renewal of the necessity of their giving their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew may have left this plane, but he's gone to a greater plane, and by we'll see him again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you that you did go back. You were compassionate enough to go back to Mary and to Martha to lift their spirit, Father, to bless them and even to do that great miracle of raising their brother from the dead. But Father, we know that Lazarus had to face death again. And Lord, we know that before you brought him back into this world, you wept at his grave. Lord, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're looking for that home in heaven, that home that's on high, Father, where there is joy and there's happiness, and there's no more death or pain or suffering, no more loss of loved ones through the avenue of death. Father, this morning, if there's one here that's never made a commitment to you, have never received you as Lord and Savior, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would beat upon their heart's door. I pray this morning, Father, if there's one here who made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ but somehow has drifted away, that today that they'll rededicate their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to them from within, and that they'll listen and be obedient to the moving of the Holy Spirit, that they too might bring fruit that will bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. Father, whatever the need is this morning, we pray that the Holy Spirit will move. In Jesus' name, amen.